Okay. I've learned my lesson. It's taken me about 6-7 years, but I've learned not to touch it. Some people are slow learners, amen? It's good to see you all at church today. Thank you all for coming and supporting your children and grandchildren and friends and family as they follow the Lord in believers' baptism, which cannot and does not save us, but it is a command that Jesus gave that we should obey to show others that we're trusting in His shed blood, in His death, burial, and resurrection to pay for our sin and to identify with us in heaven before God as justified, perfect saints of God. Legally, not physically, but legally perfect through Jesus Christ. So baptism is an important command, just like witnessing or prayer or giving or whatever. It's a spiritual thing that we need to obey to show others that we're saved and so that we can have a close fellowship with God. And first we have Dustin coming. I don't have a stool here. This is Dustin Combs. So come on over here, Dustin, where they can see you. Here, I'll lift him up here where you can see him. Can y'all see him? Okay. And Dustin, based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, I'm going to baptize you, okay, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Okay, we have another lightweight. Raise you up where they can see you. This is Cameron Jansen. Can y'all see her? Yeah. Okay. Cameron, based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Okay, this is Deegan Leslie, and I'm not going to try to lift him. I'm getting too old for that. All right, can everybody see Deegan? All right. Deegan, based on your profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. All right. I'm going to have him lift me, all right? This is Trace Paxton, and Trace has accepted Jesus and been a real blessing to me and many in our church since him and his wife Amanda has been coming. So, brother, based on your profession of faith in Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Thank you, guys. Dave?
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. To the If you have a bulletin, turn in the back. We'll do our memory verse for February. Most of you probably know this. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Okay, he's not back, so I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this day. We do thank thee again for answers to prayer, and we thank thee for those that came forward for obedience of baptismal. We thank thee for these ones. We just pray that you'll be with them as they grow in your word and watch over them and help them through each day. And Lord, we just come to you today with I know we've had several requests earlier today and of different ones that are having health issues. We just bring them to you again. Be with each one of these that we've been praying for some time, some of them, and we just pray that you'll reach down, touch them, comfort the family around them. Pray for these ones that have had accidents here near the past here a few weeks, and so we just pray for them as their families are sorrowing at this time, and give them strength and comfort through this time also. Lord, we pray for those that are going to be traveling. We know of some that will be traveling today and yet this week. Just pray that you'll be with them, supply their safety, and watch over them. Lord, we pray for our service today. Be with the pastor as he...
Do I sing about Jesus? Why is he precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, he set me free.
Okay. Anybody come today? 116. All right, Ted, you want to pray for our offering? Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for singing that. Appreciate those ladies and their testimony too. Amen. So we want to sing to please the Lord and to honor Him, and it's sweet to our ears, but it's nice when you know the people that are singing love Jesus, and that makes it even better. Well, Children's Church is dismissed. Yeah, is that what you're going to tell me? Children's Church is dismissed. Glad you're here today. Yes. What I'm talking about, this is how many people get saved, is by traveling the Romans road. Take a little journey through the book of Romans, that great letter Paul wrote, because he knew it would be read most. All roads led to Rome, literally. Some of those roads were made out of sandstone, some out of limestone. They had exits, just like we have exits today, but they had aqueducts on their exits. These were Roman architectural wonders, in that they brought water along the way as they traveled to and from Rome, from the mountains, they brought water. The Bible says that in heaven the streets are paved with gold. If you've ever toured the Middle East, you know that they had some beautiful streets on the Romans road. Marble streets. But we're going to a better home, and that home is heaven. And we take the Bible literally here. And those who take the Bible literally are getting fewer and fewer and fewer in the world. Well, Romans is a wonderful book, isn't it? I'm going to have your road make three turns here today, and we're going to compare it to a baseball diamond. Some of you are a little too old to play baseball, but you'd like to play. God's going to give you a new legs and a new back one day, and maybe you'll play in heaven. This baseball diamond is going to take four turns. We're going to look at Romans road along these four turns. First base is salvation. Paul talks about this throughout the book of Romans. But let's look in chapter 5 and see where he uses this word salvation. Romans chapter 5, it says here, twice he says this word. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be what? We shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Future tense. Shall be saved from wrath through him. But look at verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Salvation is something that happened. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved. That's past tense. I know the King James translates it, for by grace are ye saved. That's fine. But literally it's a perfect tense verb in the Greek language, which is what the Bible came from. By grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. You have been saved, you're being saved. And you will be saved. It's terrible to be lost, isn't it? I was lost one time at Walmart when I was a little boy. And I went older and I went on a mission trip to Brazil to help a missionary plant independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. And I got lost in Brazil. I was training for a marathon. I knew a little bit of Spanish, but I didn't know hardly any Portuguese. And I went to an English school. I thought, surely somebody will be able to speak English. It was a regular school, but I knew they had English. And I was doing charades, trying to help them to see. I was running, and I was lost. English teacher, they found the English teacher, and she couldn't speak a lick of English. So I left the school and wandered down around the streets, wandered around, lost. Picked up a payphone. And in Brazil, they have these bars that are in people's garages, and they have pool tables in them, and they sell hot dogs. And these are the only people that would talk to me, is a bunch of drunk people. And so one of them finally called the police. I had some hay eyes. I had about five hay eyes, and I gave them three to turn off the rock music because I was already stressed out. I don't know why people want to listen to rock music. It just makes you more stressed out. I think they like being stressed out. That's why they watch horror movies, isn't it? So they sent the police after about 3 hours. And they rode me around town, a million people all day. And right about dark, I found a church that I had visited. It wasn't my church, but it was the other Baptist church. And I hugged that police officer so tight. I said, thank you, thank you. And so they called me the amigo perdido, the lost friend. It's terrible to be lost. Not know where you're going. Not know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven. I know 100% sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. In fact, I'm eager to go to heaven. Can't wait to go to heaven. As you grow in Christ, as you get closer to the Lord, the world becomes less and less important to you, and heaven becomes more and more important to you. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they value the things of this world, don't they? I can't wait to go to heaven. Wish I could go to heaven today. My dad got lost with an Indian looking for arrowheads. And he said to the Indian said to my dad, he said, where's the truck? And my dad said, you're the Indian, you're supposed to know where the truck is. Spent 3 days lost in the woods and came out in Kentucky eventually. And there's a lot of people that are like Indians today. They want to go around and act like they know everything and act all spiritual. And they're lost. This book here, the Bible, tells us how we can be saved. And the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jesus of the New Testament. Not the Jesus of Rick Warren, not the Jesus, all these mega preachers that love the world and don't preach against sin. I'm talking about the Jesus that was crucified, nailed to a cross, because he warned everybody, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear something positive, they said. He was the only person that was truly successful that ever walked the face of the earth, because he pleased his Father in all things. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through repenting of our sin and placing our faith and trust in the shed blood of Christ, believing he rose from the dead, and believing that he represents us in heaven. The first thing to be in God's will is being saved from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day, bless God, the presence of sin. That's what I'm waiting for. And I'll have no more sin in my life. Sin brings discouragement, doesn't it? It separates us from fellowship with God. It's a worry. It's a sin to worry. It's a sin to lie. It's a sin to steal. It's a sin to covet. And the Bible says that it's a sin to put anything before God, including video games. Amen? Video games are powerfully idolatrous. They capture young people's attention much more than television does. So that's all kids think about these days. Drugs are a sin. I thank God that he answered my prayer not just to remove one bar, but two of them next to my house. Amen? Don't mess with Jesus, folks. Don't mess with Jesus. I don't care how big and bad people in Hoopston think they are. And a lot of them in Hoopston think they're big and bad, don't they? But they mess with my Jesus, I'll pray their bar shut down and it'll work. God's going to remove sin, not just in our around us, but he's going to move it away in our own lives. And I'm thankful for that, because every day I struggle with sin. Every day I struggle with sin. I'm going to pray that God love me a little bit through you. God love you a little bit through me today. You know what it's like to struggle. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, thank God through Jesus, he gives us rest. Now and forevermore. Are you saved? Are you being saved? Are you being delivered from this sin's great power? Or are you being deceived by the devil? Well, the second base you've got to run to being God's will is over a few pages. Look in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we've been preaching lately on this subject, haven't we? We went through the book of Leviticus. We want to take you through the parts of the Bible that most preachers won't take you through. It's bloody, it's gruesome, it's negative, it's plagued with guilt and despair, but we need to hear it. It's Leviticus. And in Leviticus, you brought a burnt offering, and that offering was your gift to God, not to be saved, but to show God that you want your life to be completely dedicated to Him. Even though you're a sinner, you brought it. You didn't bring it because you had to. You weren't commanded to. You brought it because you wanted to out of a free will offering to God. There's only two sacrifices that were commanded. The sin sacrifice and the trespass sacrifice, Leviticus 4 and 5. But the first three sacrifices were not commanded. They were simply gifts that we're supposed to give to God. And Jesus was the only one that was ever offered that was completely, wholly dedicated to God. He's our salvation. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we ought to try to sacrifice ourselves to God. Not for salvation, but because we're thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Are you thankful for Jesus today? I am. And because I'm thankful for Jesus, I want to be surrendered to God. Now, baptism is an illustration of that. You saw some people baptized today, didn't you? Precious souls were baptized today. That's a symbol. That's an illustration. And baptism, the word means baptizo in Greek, to dip, to submerge, to plunge, to immerse. It does not mean to sprinkle. It's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. Why do people sprinkle? They ignore this book. Why is it important? Because the mode teaches the meaning. That's why. The mode teaches the meaning. In other words, Romans chapter 6 says, we're buried with him by baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, even too we should walk in newness of life. He went down into the Jordan River. He came up out of the Jordan River. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. You say, what do you want to fuss over these things for, preacher? I'll fuss over everything in this book, but I'm not going to fuss over things that are not in the book. I'm not going to fuss over things that are not in the book, but I'll fuss over everything in the book. See how the world's got it backwards? They want to fuss over things that are not in the book. And they don't want to fuss over things in the book. But if you love God, you'll fuss over things in the book, and you won't fuss over things that are not in the book. And the Bible teaches that we ought to be baptized. Not to save us, but to show others that we've been surrounded by the love of Christ. Surrounded by the love of Christ. Immersed into His body. His body is everywhere because God's a spirit, folks. And have you been surrounded by the blood of the body and the blood of Christ, spiritually speaking? You have to be. You're saved. You have to be surrounded by His love. When you receive Him, you will be surrounded. You'll be baptized by the Spirit. When you get saved, you're baptized by the Spirit. And you feel better. Amen? You feel relieved. You feel refreshed. You're clean on the inside. And this shows everybody that you're clean on the inside. I'm baptized every day in my shower over here. But that don't save me, does it? No. I'm not going to lie. I don't take a bath every single day, but I usually am sprinkled every single day. That's not baptism, is it? And there's another symbol that we have in the church, in the Bible, to show that we're surrendered, and that's communion, right? And we take communion. We take in the wafer to show that Jesus died for us and we're thankful. He commanded us to take it. And we drink the juice. We're commanded to do that to show that we're thankful for his blood. You see, he is that sacrifice that you had to eat if you were living in the Old Testament. You had to go and you had to eat that sacrifice in the presence of God. In the presence of the priest, you had to eat the sacrifice. And it was good. It was roasted in the fire, like Jesus was roasted on the cross. We don't eat the bread to save us, right? Like that adulterous church teaches. We don't do that to save us because we're not saved by anything we do. We're saved by what he does. But we do it because we're thankful. We do it because we want to be surrendered to God. And when we do it, we confess our sins. We confess our sins every day if we love Jesus. So are you surrendered? Are you saved? Because there's a lot of people that are saved, see, but they're backslidden, they're not close to the Lord, and they might be going to heaven, but God wants you to do more than just get saved. He wants you to live for him, and he wants you to be a testimony to others, because guess what? You're the only advertisement he has in this world. You're not gonna be advertised about the gospel as you go to work, and you're not going to have preachers there. But you're a preacher wherever you go. You're a saint of God wherever you go. We're all priests, the Bible says in the New Testament. We're all witnesses. And so God wants you not just to be saved, but he wants you to show others and to be surrendered to Christ and be a channel of his love, of his holy love. I didn't say hippie love, did I? I'm not preaching John Lennon love this morning. Barack Obama love, I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching God's love. It's a holy love, isn't it? It's a love that requires sacrifice. It requires service. And my prayer is that you would grow and that your love would grow. You can't have too much love, folks. You can't have too much love in your life. But you got to make sure it's God's love, amen? You can't. Hippie love is not Christian love. See, churches today, a lot of preachers today, they want hippie love. That's not God's love. God's love has rules, it has laws, and it has standards, all right? And God's love is the best love going. It's the best love going. And God wants you to have more and more love in your life for him, for others. And as you're surrendered to God, the benefit is you feel more of God's love, more of his peace. More of his joy. The third base that you need to round second and come to is what we call separated to serve. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. To be in God's will, not only do you have to be saved, not only do you have to be surrendered, but to be in the will of Jesus, you've got to be separated in order to serve. Separated in order to serve. Now, the Pharisees were separated. The word Pharisee means the separated one. That's what you've heard of the Pharisees. They were the ones that gave Jesus a hard time, right? They were the ones that were clean on the outside, Jesus said. They dressed right, but they didn't love God on the inside. And Jesus is not saying we shouldn't dress right, is he? No, he's just saying you got to love God on the outside and on the inside. There's a certain Christians say, hey, it don't matter how you dress. Give me a break. It don't matter how you dress. Of course it matters how you dress. You think I want Annika seeing me in my underwear? All right. You know what I'm saying? There's some weird people today. Oh, it don't matter. Nothing on the outside matters. Give me a break. It does matter on the outside. But it matters more, amen, what's on the inside. I'm sick of these liberal preachers that say you can't preach on dress. I'm sick of them. Dress matters, but what matters more is what's on the inside. Your motives, why you dress the way you dress, why you say what you say. And the Pharisees said what they said out of hatred. Now, they were saying the right things, but they weren't saying it out of love, were they? They weren't doing it for God. They were separated for the wrong reasons. And Paul says that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So it's not just what I'm separated from. It's not just what I'm separated from, it's what I'm separated to that matters. And what we are separated to as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, what we are separated to is a positive message. It is a message of forgiveness. It is a message of hope. It is a message of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if we're talking to people and they don't know the Lord, we don't need to condemn them and talk about a bunch of negative things constantly, although they need to be reminded what sin is. We need to tell them the good news that Jesus died for them. And after they get saved, then we can explain to them more and more and more about morality and what the Bible teaches. Not saying we don't preach against sin, we do. But we are separated unto the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we share that good news with everybody that we're able to share it with. And this is why we send our kids to camp. Camp is a wonderful place. Camp Assurance, a camp that our church supports, where you can physically see an example of separation, where kids can't take their computer games to camp. They can't take their whatever they have, okay? They can't, and they can't listen to headphones. And they go out there and they get to commune with God through nature, which is good, isn't it? God is in nature. And they also get to hear good, solid, Bible-believing preachers preach to them about Jesus and who he is and what he does and how he can answer their prayers and how he can forgive them and love them and how he can be a true friend, because their friends in the public schools have lied to them, all right? Maybe their parents have lied to them in this day and age. But they can go to camp and they can get away from the world, can't they? And God tells us he wants us to be separated. Now, you can take that to an extreme, but that's not the problem we have today, folks. People taking separation to an extreme. The point is, we need to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to be different. We need to be unique. Peter said we're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We should show forth the praise of him who hath called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Light and darkness are distinct. They're different. And so we need to be separated not for ourselves, for self-righteousness, which is a cult. There's a self-righteous cult that is separated. But we're separated so that we can serve God and serve our family and serve others. See, if you're immersed in your own agenda, you can't serve God and others. But we don't want to be immersed in the world or in our own agenda. He said here, I'm a servant. So we're separated, so Paul says, so that we can be a servant of God. And that's why we're separated. And we can't forget the purpose and the meaning of separation. Separation is not being taught today, folks, in most growing churches. Did I say that right? Separation is not being taught in growing churches. Well, then why, preacher, are they growing? Are you going to argue with success? Why are they growing? It's not being preached in most growing churches, which what that tells me is people are attending churches that are growing, that the devil's ruling. The devil's ruling growing churches. You say, how do you know it's not being taught? Because I listen to them online and I never hear about separation. And the Bible tells us we ought to be distinctly, uniquely the Lord's people, different from the world. And the weaker brother in Romans 14, the weaker brother is not someone that has high standards. Go read your Bible. That's not the weaker brother. You hear this garbage out of Dallas and all these other seminaries. It's not true. The weaker brother is not a person with high standards. The weaker brother is a person who was confused about the gospel, that thought you were saved by keeping dietary laws. That's the weaker brother. Okay? You might have to go back and get the tape. Look it up. As we're separated to the Lord, we're happier people. And this separation involves, in Romans 12, a dedication of everything in our lives, our mouth, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our body. We are to present ourselves completely to God. Completely to God. And it's a issue of purity And it's an issue of love. God's love. God's love. And experiencing the love of God in my life. And if I'm not separated unto God, I'm going to be worried and confused and double-minded with the wrong values and the wrong goals and the wrong aspirations. And what we see a lot happening is people wanting to make money today. And there's nothing wrong with making money, but the Bible says keep yourselves free from the love of money. Keep yourselves free from the love of money. And worldly people, they want money, folks. We want God. Jesus said, if you seek me first, I'll provide your money for you. I'll provide your spouse for you. I'll provide what you need, everything you need for you. Don't seek money. It's a matter of our heart, isn't it? But pray for camp. We are separated personally, but we're also separated ecclesiastically, which means we don't work with those who say that they're saved, but they don't believe the book. They don't have to be Baptist. Okay, but they do have to be Bible-believing Christians. They don't have to be Baptist, but they do have to be Bible-believing Christians. If they don't believe this book, I'm not going to work with them. I'm not going to support their ecumenical evangelism. In other words, why would I want to go to a rally where people come forward to be saved and then they're sent right straight back to the Roman Catholic Church? Why would I support that? Just so that we can have a big crowd and we can say, hey, we got 50,000 people to come to a football stadium. Aren't we great? Aren't we great? And that's what they do. They tell each other how great they are, but they're not following the book. So I don't need 50 preachers to tell me how great I am. I need Jesus to tell me how great I am. Okay, I don't need 100,000 people in a football stadium to make me feel great, because I'm already great in Christ. I'm already great. I'm already accepted in Christ. I'm already loved in Christ. I'm already free in Christ. Christ is the solution to mankind's problems. Okay? Not more mystical powwows. All right? And so we don't work with people that don't believe the gospel. So you can believe the gospel regardless of denomination, but you've got to believe the gospel to be saved. All right? And so we are separated as a church. It's not because we think we're better than anybody else. It's because we love this book right here. And guess what? Revelation is literal, and there's a blessing to those who read Revelation. Do you think I want to lose my blessing? Okay? There's a church in town that does not believe Revelation's literal. Guess what? Not going to work with them. I'm not going to lose my blessing. My blessing says Revelation's literal. I'm not going to lose my blessing. I'm not going to lose the blessing that God said, read it, believe it, obey it, Revelation, and you'll have a blessing. Because when the Antichrist comes, guess what? He's probably already alive and on the earth. And there's a lot of people that aren't looking for the Antichrist. And guess what? They're going to follow him hook, line, and sinker. They're going to follow him. My dad said, I'm not going to get that mark that they're going to try to put on people's foreheads on their right hand. And my dad don't attend church, but I'll tell you what, I praise the Lord my dad told me that, amen. I've been praying for him for 20-something years. And when they start passing out chips, because you know how this virus is spreading right now? You've heard of the virus that Israel released into the world, right? The computer virus that Israel released into the world on accident, which made Iran send a bunch of viruses to attack Bank of America and all these other banks in the world. See, Obama said, they promised Obama they weren't going to release it, and they released it on accident. And it started a global cyber warfare. Don't you know what's coming? It only makes sense to have a computer chip. It only makes sense to have a computer chip. And guess what? The people that are going to get computer chips are the people that don't believe Revelation is literal. Those are the people that are going to get computer chips. You say, Pastor, we got visitors. Be careful. I don't care that we got visitors. I care about the book. This book is true from cover to cover. This book is true. Every word of this book is true. And I'll tell you what, it's coming, folks. We're already in a one-world economy, and we're going toward a one-world government. That was the stated goal of Hillary Clinton. And her supporters are still there. They're not going away. We are headed toward a one world government. All right? But guess what? If I'm a Christian, if I follow Jesus, he's my only king. I don't swear allegiance to America. I don't swear allegiance to a pope. I don't swear allegiance to the Baptist. I don't swear allegiance to my wife. I don't swear allegiance to my children. I swear allegiance to the name that's given above every name, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's the only one I swear allegiance to. And I'm going to stay on his path. I'm going to keep traveling down this road. Salvation, surrender, separated to serve, but last, what he says here in Romans chapter 14, 15, and what he says about Israel, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. That was Paul's family. He wanted his family saved. And so home plate for the believer, home plate for the believer is love. Burden for souls. I've tried to live for myself. When I was 16 years old, from the time I was 19 years old, I drove a red Nissan truck, and I had my heavy metal music blaring. And if I wasn't going around turns and you didn't hear tires squealing, I'm talking about sliding, okay? Fast and Furious, Roger, they didn't have nothing on me, buddy. See, I've lived for myself for 3 years out of my life. I've lived completely for myself. Completely and totally for Adam. All right? And I was smart enough not to get caught, too. And then I had a grandpa that got me out of some trouble, too. But I know what it's like to live for myself. Solomon said he's going to live for himself, didn't he? There's no pleasure in living for yourself. There's no happiness in living for yourself. For those of you who are married, there's no pleasure physically in for yourself. I'm talking about in a physical sexual relationship with your spouse. There's no pleasure in that if you look at yourself. The joy of the Christian life is for living for God and living for others. That's where the joy comes in. That's where it's at. And Paul says, my burden is for Israel, chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he says in chapter 14, I've got a burden and I've got a desire for believers. I want to see believers grow and I want to see them become strong and mature. I've got a burden for other people to grow in Christ, not just to be saved. If you're here today, I want you to keep coming to our church. Because this is a church where you can come every Sunday and you can hear deep, solid teaching from the Bible where your ears aren't tickled. Amen? You can get your ears tickled somewhere else, but you're not going to get your ears tickled here. You're going to learn the Bible here. I mean, if you're here for 1 year, I guarantee you'll know the Bible better than anybody in Hubston that's in your neighborhood, unless they come to our church. That's our goal, is to teach you the Bible. I have a burden for Christians to grow, for Christians to learn the Bible and to live the Bible. That's your desire if you're saved. But last, your last desire is that, and by the way, that takes patience, doesn't it? My case in point. Growing in the Christian life takes patience. You have to have patience if you want to see people mature, right? I mean, you're raising children. It takes time for those children to learn not to cross the road, and it drives you crazy when they try to cross that road, doesn't it? You see people saved that are taking drugs, and maybe they're saved. Okay, they're going to get hit by a car, spiritually speaking. But you know what? They're still saved. If they're taking drugs and they're saved, that doesn't mean they lose their salvation. Amen? You see how confusing most churches are? It just means if they're saved and they're taking drugs, it means they need to stop. They need to get right with God. And so we want to see people grow. And I will be patient with you. I promise you that. I will be patient with you. You call me up and say, Pastor, I made a big mistake. We've all made mistakes. That's why I'm here. I'm patient with people that are new Christians. That's why God saved so many new Christians in our church, because he knows I'm going to be patient with them. All right? But last, we have to love the unsaved. And that's what chapter 15 teaches. Love the unsaved. He says, I want to take the gospel somewhere where it's never been taken before. And that ought to be a goal and a burden of our heart. If we're soul burdened, we ought to pray for the lost. Pray for those people that drive you nuts. Are you praying for that woman that drives you nuts? Are you praying for that man that drives you nuts? Are you praying for your employer that drives you nuts? Because the reason your employer is driving you nuts probably is because your employer's lost, amen? Are you praying for them? Do you love them? Like I said, you can't have too much love, folks. You can have misguided love, unbiblical love, John Lennon love, Obama love, you can have that, satanic love, but you can't have too much biblical love. And God's love is patient, isn't it? And God's love is kind too, isn't it? God's love is kind. God's love's not mean. Okay? And there's a lot of followers of this current president that are mean. God's love's not mean, is it? God's love is kind. And we need more love. And we need to care more for other people. We do, don't we? And that's what following Jesus will do in your life. That's what it'll do in your life. And there's no end to it until you get to heaven. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Romans. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love. We can't have too much of your love, but we need more of your love. As their heads are bowed, as their eyes are closed this morning, maybe there's somebody here this morning. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven through Jesus. God brought you here this morning for a reason, for a purpose, because He loves you and He wants you to be saved and to know you're saved. Being saved is not being perfect, is it? It's believing that Jesus Christ alone died for you and trusting only in Jesus, not in good works, not in going to church, only in Jesus. And as their heads are bowed, as their eyes are closed this morning, I wonder, is there someone here that would say, Pastor Adam, I want to make sure I'm saved. And I would say to you, pray this prayer in your heart right now where you're seated and mean it. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. Come into my heart. Be first in my life. I repent of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today I'm still praying here. I'm going to really preach hard today, okay? Maybe there's somebody here today that's saved. Listen, you know you're saved. You know you're saved. You've been saved. But you're not serving the Lord. You're not surrendered to the Lord. And because of that, deep down, you know that you're not happy. You don't have God's joy. Maybe there's a Christian that maybe you come to church, but you're hiding a sin in your life. And you know you don't need to be hiding that sin. And that sin will take your joy. What is that sin that you need to confess, Christian? Could it be to pray for your employer? Could it be to pray for someone that's lied to you or hurt you? What is it? Could it be drugs or alcohol? What is it? What kind of addiction do you have? Say, Lord Jesus, as a Christian, I want to present myself today, rededicate myself to you completely. As a Christian, I'm going to rededicate myself completely right now where you're seated, where you pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.